Fans, we have a special segment coming up brought to us by Volvo Cars of Walnut Creek and Nation's Giant Hamburgers. This past winter, Bill King, legendary Bay Area broadcaster, received the highest honor given to a baseball broadcaster when he received the Ford C. Frick Award for Excellence in Broadcasting from the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. Bill King began his career behind the mic during World War II with the Armed Forces Radio Network, recreating games for the troops. Bill brought games to life with his lively phrases and use of language, perhaps best remembered for the exclamation, "Holy Toledo!" when a particularly wild event happened. Bill began his Bay Area career in 1958, joining Russ Hodges and Lon Simmons on the original Giants broadcast. Over a six-decade career, Bill described the action of the championship seasons of the Warriors, Raiders, and Athletics. Bill King meant the world to me. When I started my show in 1998, he was always there to give me encouragement, but most of all, respect for the work I was doing, interviewing those connected to the game while chronicling the oral history of baseball on a daily basis. Bill's door was always open to me. He was a dear friend, and I miss him every time I walk into the ballpark. His passing in 2005 was one of my saddest days, but what a life he lived. Bill's love of opera and ballet. Bill was an accomplished and wonderful artist, an expert in Russian history, a voracious reader, and an accomplished sailor. Those were just some of his loves away from the park. I'm thrilled to play for you some of my conversations with Bill over the years. Just hearing his voice makes my day. He never wasted a word, and his use of language is unsurpassed. Now here's Bill King talking some baseball with me. Holy Toledo!
But you're from the Midwest, and people who grew up in your area, I guess you either rooted for the Cubs or the Cardinals because this was the Midwest rivalry.
Well, you know, I grew up virtually exactly halfway between St. Louis and Chicago, and I was not passionate about one over the other in particular. I followed them both closely, and I rooted for both of them. When they played each other, I tended to lean toward the team who had a player or players that I looked on with greater favor. For a while, it was the Cubs, and Stan Hack, their third baseman, was my favorite. But then when Stan Musial came along with the Cardinals, then he swung me over to the St. Louis persuasion.
1938, the homer in the gloaming. If you're a baseball fan, it's one of those things you grow up reading about. Gabby Hartnett became the manager of the Cubs midway through that 1938 season. The Pirates, managed by Pie Trainer, come into Wrigley Field late in September. Dizzy Dean is on the Cubs at that point. Gabby Hartnett's the manager. The Cubs eventually win this pennant, but this is one of the legendary series in Cubs history.
Well, the Pirates had led most of that season, and the Cubs made a managerial change in mid-year, trying to get a little bit of fire into the ball club, and that's when Hartnett took over. They had a pitcher named Big Bill Lee, who won 22 games that year. Dizzy Dean was in the back end of his career with a hurting shoulder, and only started occasionally that year, and yet down the stretch he was a major figure. The Pirates came in with a lead, and in fact in Pittsburgh at this time, this had never been heard of before. They had already printed up all the press credentials, the buttons, the World Series buttons for the Pirates to be in the World Series. The Pirates came in and got swept by the Cubs. The middle game was the homer in the gloaming game, and Big Bill Lee, the 22 game winner, you and I were talking a while ago and you'd looked it up, he pitched in all three games in that series, twice in relief, and then started and pitched a complete game to finish it up. So the Pirates left with their tails between their legs, but the Cubs had to go to St. Louis, and that's where they clinched the pennant that year, and that was very satisfying to them.
Dizzy Dean with the Cardinals, World Series hero, he and his brother Paul Dean, in 1934 and 35, between the two of them. Now, this is two seasons, including the World Series in 34, the two of them won 100 games. 1938, Dizzy Dean is traded to the Chicago Cubs. Before this series with the Pirates, he's only been in 12 games all year, 6-1. But what was it like having the hero of the Cardinals come over to the hated Cubs?
Well, it was almost like Leo DeRocher moving from Brooklyn to New York in the 50s, I would think, because although Dizzy was obviously near the end because he had hurt the shoulder after the All-Star game a couple of years earlier, the Cubs thought he was the extra ingredient. And they traded three players for him, and $185,000, which was astronomical at that time. People were just floored by that. And as it turned out, Dizzy won 7 games that year, but they were important games. And he pitched gallantly in the World Series when the Yankees crushed them in 4 games. He battled them on even terms until, I believe, the 8th inning in Game 3. And I think it was Frank Grassetti drove him out of the ballgame with a home run. And he was a huge story that year. He was an empathetic figure. He also was still the crazy Dizzy Dean. There were incidents that took place at night where he mysteriously cut his forearm. He said he got up in the middle of the night and hit a lamp and grabbed for it, and he cut it on the edge of the table. Well, that was very suspicious, and that was newspaper stuff for 2 weeks. It was tremendous.
The homer in the Gloman, though, the game is 6-6. It's Wrigley Field. There are no lights. The umpires agree they're only going to play one more inning. The Pirates have the lead over the Cubs in the standings at this point. Hartnett's the manager. 2 out, the bottom of the 8th inning. He comes up off Mace Brown, who was a very big pitcher in those days for the Pirates. What happened?
Actually, it was the bottom of the 9th inning. And Mace Brown was one of the first true relief pitchers. They didn't call them closers, but many of the times in those days, starters worked out of the bullpen on occasion. And nobody was really a specialist as much as Mace Brown was. Mace Brown came in there, got 2 quick outs, and then Gabby, and they knew they were not going to play another inning in this ball game. And I was listening to the game in various places. I was a little kid in grade school. I started at home, had to run uptown, stopped at a couple of stores where they had radios, caught a half inning here, a half inning there. I got back home just in time to hear Bob Elson call Hartnett homering into the bleachers in left field, and circling the bases as the fans poured onto the field. He had to fight his way to home plate. They picked him up. They carried him off the field. The Tribune the next morning, the picture was murky because it was that dark. And Gabby was a big guy with a big round face, kind of red. They used to call him Old Tomato Face. And he was grinning ear to ear like a slit watermelon.